We're going to take a little break from Hebrews today, although it all is so hinged, dovetailed to everything we're going to say, but we're going to be looking at the triumphal exit, better known as the triumph ready. Before we go any further, I'd like to also include Van in answered prayer. Van underwent surgery on his knee, and although it looks like it doesn't bend, it probably is going to be better than it ever was when that healing comes completely to pass. Father God, we just thank you. We're just so human at times, Lord. We think, we pray, we forget. We walk around as if everything's like it always was. But you've heard prayers, Lord. You've touched those that we've prayed for. And we just ask that you would continue those healings in each one of them. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If I've forgotten anybody, I apologize. Today, Palm Sunday, and I just felt like a lot of times Palm Sunday sermons, we read the triumphal entry. And I was doing that all week, and I felt like there's so much more to this time that we're in right now today, each and every one of us. But Palm Sunday, and it's more, you know, he rode in on a donkey. You know, we read that story, and everybody says, well, we know that's what a king rode on of peace, but the king of war, he rode in on a stallion, big, proud unit. Why didn't he do that? Because he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace. He's not going to ride into our presence on some war horse and blow everything away. Amen. We know him, we love him, and we obey him through looking at his life and what he did for us. All of a sudden, Palm Sunday started opening up a little bit more to me. It's the Passion Week. It has nothing to do with Catholicism, so please don't. It's the Passion Week. It's what our Lord and Savior went through. This time is the culmination of his life, number one, you know, as a human here on earth. It's the culmination of everything he said, everything he did, everything he promised. There's still some to yet come. But this week was everything he wanted to say to everybody, everything that he can do for mankind to see him as he really is. So I want us to go beyond Palm Sunday and Bunny Sunday next week, because it has nothing to do with bunnies. And I think we laugh and we know that. And I'm not saying don't have an Easter basket. If anybody gets peeps and you don't like them, bring them. Bring them. But we need to look at this in the seriousness of what has transpired. Palm Sunday, Passion Week, Resurrection Sunday. That's all incorporated in this week that's going to come into every one of our lives and try to bring destruction, try to bring some kind of downfall, try to bring some kind of fear, doubt, whatever it might be. I guarantee myself first and you, the enemy of our soul will try harder probably than he has in the last week or two, because this is a holy, holy time. I would suggest that we all look into this week, the four Gospels. All the renditions are in there. I don't want to call them stories. They're not stories. These are recorded events of truth. And every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record the time that we are in called Passion Week, starting here Palm Sunday. So we'll get into that in a minute. Each day, just kind of pick out the one that fits for the day, and I'll make that a little clearer as we go. I'd have us turn to Mark 12, 24, please. Mark 11 starts the triumphal, but as I was reading it, this jumped out at me in a way that it really hasn't I don't think it has at all. One of those scriptures that we kind of say it, you know, and we think we know it. But I hope and pray that we can sit at the Lord's feet with this. What is the implication for me, Father God, right now, in this week, that you brought to fulfillment every one of the promises, every one of the prophecies that would lead up to the end of your week? Most of us look forward to Friday. Phew. Who was it? Carmen, the old singer. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We've got to look forward to that. We've got to look forward to the things that are going to assail us this week. So how does this go with the triumphal entry? I don't want us to miss this week. Mark 12, verse 24. And Jesus answering. Now, remember, he was approached by the wisdom of the world, Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scholars, everybody was up there, and they tried to trick him with a little presentation of, you know, gee, if you look, it'll be about a man and his wives and all. They're just trying to trick him, trying to get him to say something, just like the world is today. Verse 24, though, Jesus answers them and says, "Do ye not therefore err?" What he's saying is, you guys are making a mistake. Because, and if you underline or write down, I think these two are going to be critical for every one of us, whether in our own salvation, the salvation that might be presented by us to another individual. The two things that Christ answered when he said, "You're making a mistake. You're not understanding." Error, is that what error means? Most of us just go, "Err, because you know not the scriptures." Amen. That one just, all of a sudden, I was just sitting in my chair, right? And I mean, boom. "You know not the scriptures, neither the power of God."
Amen. Amen.
What's that got to do with the triumphal entry? What's that? There's two things in here that I think are dangers for every one of us that call ourselves Christians, that think we know him. Until we get into this word this week and start seeing what happened to our Lord, we think we're having a bad day. We don't know the power of God. We don't even know the scriptures because we've somehow let the world and its problems, its experiences, its situations override what's really going on. What's really going on? Don't miss this. I need to keep. You don't know the scriptures. I need to know them better. Oh, what's the song? "I want to know you more." But then in the interim, we flip out. We act like some of the worst of anyone. I mean, this is humanness. But I think if we get into knowing the scriptures, knowing what God is really saying to me as his child, what's my responsibility for that? Then I think all of a sudden the power of God starts to be revealed to me and how powerful our God truly is. So those two dangers, not knowing the scriptures and not knowing the power of God, let's turn to 2 Peter, if we would, please. And I'm going to try not to talk much. I just want God's word to be in the forefront this morning. 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just go. I wish we had the time to read the whole thing. But let's just start at 13, if we would, please. And Paul is speaking about our Lord and Savior. He's speaking about exactly what was coming, what is coming to us, the resurrection. But Paul was trying, I feel, to impart to these people things, because in our humanness, we forget. We let it slide. We let it slip. And that was that first one, that we know not the scriptures. Oh, I know that, but where is it? Oh, I know that, but I can't remember. We need to know a little bit more in these times that we're in. This is what going to be our only salvation. Not IRAs, not jobs, not homes, not wives, not husbands, not children. The Word of God Amen. Is what's going to bring us home. Paul says, Peter says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I can stir you up two ways. I can stir you up and you can get real annoyed at me, or I can stir you up and you can say, this is from the Lord. So what we're going to read after this is from the Lord, knowing that shortly, I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. We're all going. We don't know when. Some of us before the other. Wouldn't it be great if we all went at the same time? Poof. I would love, as Della, her pastor down in Denver, his desire was that I go while I'm preaching in the pulpit. And that man one Sunday stepped down from the pulpit like you see most of them do, and he had a heart attack and passed away. What a blessing. What? I mean, it was his choice, right? But we're all going. So it's kind of time, I think, now, after 40 some odd years, I need to know these scriptures. I need at this point in my life to know the power of God. Moreover, I will endeavor that you might be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. The humanness of us is we tend to forget the important things. We remember the minutest detail of what an individual said 30 years ago, verbatim, and we can throw it back at them, but we don't remember what Christ has said to us this morning in our hearts, in that whisper that we hear from him. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, verse 16, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but you are eyewitnesses. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. For you and I, we don't know the scriptures we just heard. Keep remembering Mark 12. That was the beginning of this. You and I today, sitting here, and those that are maybe watching, or everyone that's outside the walls of any church, they have what he's saying here. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Bible. We have, some of us, 5 and 6 and 7 different translations of them. And how many of them are still sitting there untouched? We're proud of them. I know I've got, thank you, Danny. Danny has given me 4 ancient Bibles. I cherish them. I don't want to read them, not because I don't want anything to come apart. He's pass those on, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's more than this Bible that we hold in front of us. It's the Holy Spirit living in us, speaking back to us. Remember when we heard in Hebrews that God now speaks to us through his Son? Here it is. And when we get this word in our minds, in our hearts, we start to hear him, don't we? And people say, you hear God told you to do that? Don't ever feel bad. Yes, he did. I pray I'm hearing him right, but yes, he did. So we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. Almost sounds exactly like what we've been studying in Hebrews, doesn't it? As unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. This isn't up to us. This isn't up to me. This isn't up to you. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like hearing that. Well, if it offends you, be offended till you can be offended no more. Be offended. This is God's word, and the time is drawing short. This is why he went there, to fulfill all this. So it's everything that is written. Not just a piece here or the one I like there. Scripture interprets Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. They'll start to open up when we learn all these things and see these things in the Old Testament. The New Testament all of a sudden is going to make sense. The New Testament all of a sudden, why was that? Well, it's because it was prophesied here. no scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved, carried along by the Holy Ghost. So that's business about, oh, you know, it was written by men. It was written by them, but it was spoken, it was given, it was placed into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I feel he's not getting enough attention, if you would, in my life for the power that he's brought to me. Now, why is that? And we've said it 100 times, because the abuse of the Holy Spirit and what we see in some churches. But on a personal note, with ourselves, start to take the scriptures to heart. The time is short. Start to understand that God has this power still today over and in my life and your life. Not knowing the scriptures, not knowing the power of God was another one. Turn to 1 Corinthians, if we would. Did I read all of it? Yes, I did. 1 Corinthians. Not knowing the power of God was another thing that we were told on this Passion Week. You know, I just feel, why is it called Passion Week? Other than, and if I'm wrong, it was because of his, what's your passion? What's mine? Mine is, you know, and I can name 50 of them. Dirt biking, fly fishing, used to be snowboarding. I'm too smart now for that anymore. Keep naming it, cars, whatever it might be. You were his passion. You were his passion. I desire with great desire, he said at the Last Supper, to have this meal with you. That was his passion. I can't wait for this service to get over so I can go home and watch the Broncos. What's my passion? I mean, and I'm not denying any of our humanness. Vacations, fun, a walk in the sun. This is all great. But I think the first and the foremost of any base of what we do has got to be Jesus Christ in the days that we have remaining. And that's the only way we're going to know the power of God. See, that was what he was saying. You don't know the power of God. Why don't I? Because I don't give him enough time. I don't give it enough credence in my life that, thank you for that note. I'm going to put that up on my refrigerator or something. Everything he says is yea and amen. Everything Christ says is yea and amen. It's not balancing on someone's interpretation or my feeling. This is our Lord and Savior. So he says, you don't know the power of God. Well, what's the power of God? The scriptures, just like he said in Mark 12. So I ask this turn. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Here's Paul saying that, you know, what is real important in traditions and structures. For Christ sent me not to baptize. And they were talking about who was greater in baptism. But to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the, and here's the underlined, cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, important word in there, and if you're not saved, if you're not in that relationship with Jesus Christ, read John 3, not John 3:16. We know that one. But when Jesus said, in order to enter heaven, you must be born again. Well, that term has just gotten an awful lot of play over years. But to us who are saved, who are born again, whatever term you want to put on there, and I'm talking about heartfelt, true believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that God did resurrect him from the dead, and because of that, God is going to resurrect me from the dead. That's being saved. Don't question that ever. Well, I believe in a lot of that stuff, but I don't know about the resurrection. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Two things that he told us that we had a problem with, not knowing the scriptures, not knowing the power of God. And I feel that a crossless gospel. There's a lot of that out there today. We don't like to mention sin. We don't like to mention the agony of what happened there, the cost of that life, the ugliness of that life. Because of that, we have what's going out today as a crossless gospel, and a crossless gospel is a powerless gospel. Yeah. Amen. We just heard from God that the preaching of the cross of Christ, that's the power. God through that. And if it sounds foolish that that's what it would take, and I'm not speaking so much to anyone that I know of, at least in here, as we talked about, if that sounds foolish, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he's the resurrection, he's the only way unto salvation, if that sounds foolish, then you're perishing. And that's not something to laugh about. That's not something to just brush off. Turn to Romans 1, if you would. That gospel, in the time that we have, it needs to be spoken of to each and every person that God puts in front of us. You don't have to convince anybody. You don't have to hammer anybody. Just let them know, let them see who we are, that we're in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 of Romans 1 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We've got to ask ourselves that. We're not ashamed when we're right here in the midst of the whole family, are we? But did you ever notice how something starts to lock your jaws out there when you're with a certain group or a certain, maybe not, but I know that happens today. And I have to ask myself, why can't I speak a scripture in this situation when somebody says something? Why can't I show them the power that God has in this? If I can't do that, I feel maybe I am a little ashamed. I just don't want to speak at this time. But Paul, again, for what Christ has done for us on this week is where we're going. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God." There it is again. The scriptures and the word is the power of God. "Unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." We grow in this. We're not all perfect. We know that right now by just looking at ourselves in the mirror, talking to ourselves in the corner. We just blew it. We're going from faith to faith because of what he did, not because of what I'm doing. And this is what Passion Week is about. This is what it builds up to. And he did all of this not to just leave us, but he went to that point next week that we're going to look at so that we will have that power living and residing within us. Now, you know, can we do anything? No. You know, can we fly? Not yet. That's when I'm going to Jerusalem. Me and Pat, we're going to take the free tour if that, you know. But we have to look at this. And we're going to go from faith to faith. "As it is written," again, "the just shall live by faith." Verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Start listening to what's being said on the Babylonian idiot box. Watch what's happening. We are living in a world right now. You think Timothy's got some stuff written down about men in the last days will be? Look what's going on right now. Do you think this is just happening? It's because the world at large, the ones that are doing what is happening, although I feel they're being moved by Christ, this is part of his plan. They're unrighteous. They're ungodly. And they don't hold this truth that we're hearing today. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." If you're hearing this today, Passion Week, Palm Sunday, the entrance, Hosanna, save now, cry it out because there is no excuse. I never heard that. Nobody ever told me that. I wasn't aware. I didn't understand that. If we're not in relationship, the excuses, they fall on deaf ears. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." This is what we're living in today. That is surrounding us right now. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They'd rather worship something that was made of a rock or a tree or a hunk of metal or something, thinking that that is going to help, or taking a crystal and putting it to our heads and saying, I'm getting words. This is what's happening. And he knew this was happening. And I keep turning because that's why he went here. Not to make some bold statement. Not so people would feel sorry for him, because he made the perfect propitiation for you and I. That when this time came, which is now, we would not be caught in it. We'd have a way out. And because of these idols made like unto corruptible man, 23, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. This is important. Because someday, well, why do you have to die? Remember Caleb and Matthew Davis? They were watching the life and story of Jesus, and they were 7, 8 years old or something, laying on the floor, and they were watching it, and all of a sudden they started calling for me, and I was in the kitchen. Why did he have to die? He didn't do anything wrong. These were little kids watching what was going on. Why did he have to die? He didn't do anything wrong. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseeming and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Passion Week, Christianity, salvation. God made man, woman. Period. Amen. Amen. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't oversee something that might be happening down the road. This was mankind's doing. He believed that so much that, let me turn around again, he went here for that. Amen. Went right there for that. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant whispers, that's gossip, backbiters, haters of God, verse 30, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. You don't understand the scriptures, you guys. He was telling them back then, you err. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unwilling to make peace, is what that word means. I don't know what you have in your translation there, Ma. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They consent or approve, and they invent newer ways of doing the old sin. Period. This is why we're in Palm Sunday. So the triumphal entry, you know. No, it was the triumphal exit. People weren't buying us, as you said. Crucify him at the end there. We have to understand the significance of what's going on here. So, let me, 1107. 1107. We got, no. This must be right. Can I tell a joke just to get my mind back? I'm looking at that. The little boy's in there, and he sees the communion come up, and he asks the father, Dad, what's that for? And he goes, oh, that's the Lord's Supper. That's communion. We're going to take that represents the blood and the wine. And then he said the pastor went and took his watch off and put it under the pulpit, and he said, what does that mean, Dad? And the dad said, not a thing. Not a thing. So I'm going to keep rolling here. Let's, this week, this Passion Week, this Palm Sunday, Passion Week, Resurrection Sunday, I feel we need to look at it. I suggested that before, that we would look into this to see what he endured, what Christ endured for mankind and for me, you know, for us. So I wrote some Sunday today, Palm Sunday, triumphal entry, right? You're going to find that in there. Monday, Jesus clears the temple. What a story in there. My house, and whose house are you? I have to look at everybody now. Tom thinks I'm picking on him. Whose house are you, Doug? He cleared. My house should be a house of prayer. This is a time like never before, and we need to be praying. On Tuesday was the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse. On Wednesday was Holy Wednesday. We don't hear too much about that anymore. And I feel he was resting for preparation for the Passover, possibly. There was much more. But you look into it and see what you find. Thursday, when I was dating Pat and going to, Pat grew up Roman Catholic. There was Maundy Thursday. And I used to joke, oh, can't you make up your mind? Is it Monday or Thursday? Monday, Thursday? No, Maundy. Oh, my. It's not a joke. Maundy Thursday. Last Supper happened on that day. The garden. Peter's denial was on that day. Do we know the scripture? Do we know the power of God in that? And we've got Friday, of course, called Good Friday. Good Friday. I know it's good because what it accomplished, but when you look at that in there, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, most horrible death on that cross, spit on, mocked, stripped, punched, crown of thorns beat into his head, and then crucified. That was for me. I pray it's for you, that you'll accept what he did for those things that I've done. That's what we're going to see. Saturday, he was in the tomb. Seems like it's over, right? That's what a lot of the followers thought. Kind of like us. You get some bad news, seems like it's over. Get fired from a job, that's it. Run out of money, oh, what am I going to do now? Kind of seems over, dark. What's going to happen? What's going to happen is we're going to hear next week, Sunday, resurrection, new life. Everything starts again. So I'll end with one here. 1 Peter, if we would. 1 Peter this time, chapter 1. Let's hear it in its fullness. What do you think? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and Jesus our Lord. Knowledge of the scriptures. Remember where we started. Don't forget it. This is what Christ was, I feel, crying out in those last days. Father, it's finished. Remember, we're going to hear. It's finished, but it was everything that we're hearing. According as divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're in the scriptures. Those scriptures, if we make them ours, they're to us. We can stand on them. We can hold them. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We need to grow in this week. So through the week, we're going to grow if we look into these things. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We're supposed to love each other. You don't have to like me. It doesn't say that. But you got to love me. And that goes for everybody else that we bump into. That's rough. But he went to the cross to show that it's possible. And this is 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Ah, the old dog is dead. Sometimes he tries to come back up like the night of the living dead, like I've said, and grab me by the ankle and pull me back. But Doug is dead. I'm a new creation. So are you. If I know the scriptures, if I understand the power of God, I don't have to be like this anymore. The things I do and the way I act is sometimes because I want to. I want to assert my authority. I have one authority over me, and that's King Jesus. We've got to get back to that. Wherefore, because of all of that, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure. Not that we're going to save ourselves, but if we're Christians, start acting like one. Start behaving like one. Start thinking like one. Start understanding, Doug, the power that's in that cross. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance. There it is again. We forget, right, of these. Oh, I knew that. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Keep building. Keep building. I got a good foundation on the house. Now start making sure that the rest of the house is as good as the foundation. Because as the foundation goes, so goes the house. Yea, verse 13, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Did I? You know what? I'm reading 2 Peter. I'm reading 2. That is so good. It was worth a revamp. Okay, this is going to take you a minute more in our time. I'm sorry. That was good. I was sitting there saying, that sounds awfully familiar. And then God said in my ear, Doug, you know not the scriptures, you're erring. So I got to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant, abundant mercy. If there wasn't any mercy, I probably wouldn't be standing here today in front of you. His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is so important. This is, even the disciples, when he kept telling them, they didn't understand. They didn't get the gist of it, if you would. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, us. We are kept by the power of God. There it is again. Mark 12, 24. You don't know the power of God. I'm not keeping myself. Some of us are Christians like this. Don't say it. I'm not going to repeat. Oh, yeah. Well, really? You think that's what it is? Well, really? Really? I'm not kept in my salvation by myself because I wouldn't have it if I was. It was because of his work on there, his word right here, the promises of the scripture. We are who are kept by the power of God. Can you imagine that? How many of you have ever slipped doing something? Not much power there, right? But God is not going to let us go. Do we hear this? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We've got a taste. We've gotten a glimpse. We've seen a little bit. But what's coming is well worth the wait, well worth the endurance. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. What? Mine should say, wherein now you complain greatly. But he's saying, wherein with this salvation that's coming, Christ is coming back. He's done the work. It's finished. This week we can see everything he did for us. We should greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials. And we're going to get into that on the end of chapter 2 of Hebrews. Trials and tribulations, these are common to us. And you know, these tests and these trials, they don't make us. They show us what we're made of. Amen. That's why they're coming in our lives. Oh, I made it through that. No, you didn't. You didn't. And if you think you made it through that, wait till the next one. Because that's the one that's going to knock you. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Remember, we're going to read what he went through this week. I need to put it in shoe leather that the trial of Doug's faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. When? Soon. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets, everything we've heard about before, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They saw it. They were trying to pump everybody up, just like we try to do with each other. Keep it up. Keep it up. The prophets, everything looked for this day, and you and I are living in it. We've got it right in front of us. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Mark 12:24, the scriptures, the power of God. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, come down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. We're living in stuff that even the angels, who Christ is far superior, what's going on? Wow. Wherefore? Because of all this. And I will end with this, I hope. Passion Week. Today. Save me now. Crucify him. What are the terms that are going to come out of our mouth? If we believe, if we are starting to understand. Wherefore, 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, anybody just, doesn't it bug you when your kids don't obey you? Wow. But it's okay for me to disobey him, you know. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation. Greek, be ye being made holy. Remember, faith to faith. Understanding the scriptures, they should change me today from a little bit where I was yesterday. They should change me from where I was maybe this morning if I truly understand them. Be holy, be ye being made holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, awesome, reverent respect for the word, for the power of it, and for God. I forgot where I was. 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed. See, and he's going to say about that, I want us to hear this. We're not recovering. We're not rescued from a, we're redeemed. That's got to really sit in. Look at the cross again. The power of the cross redeemed me. Took that old Doug, throw it away, dead, buried, gone. New Doug, here. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver, gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what's coming this week. His whole life coming to this culmination. Not coming to the condo in Hawaii with the great IRA that finally cashed out and the world is at peace. I've made it. No. We were redeemed by his blood. He had no sin, no spots, no nothing. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you or us, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, power of God, the resurrection. Do we believe in the resurrection? Do we really, really believe I'm going to be resurrected? And it's more than just an ascent. I'm talking for us to critically think about this. Do I truly believe it? And if I don't, I'm erring in my knowledge of the scripture and the power of God. My biggest fight ever in my life was the enemy trying to convince me that the resurrection and my daughter, you better hope for it, buddy. You better pray that everything you believe. You see what I'm saying? This is what Satan is after. This is why he went to the cross. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest for us who believe in him, raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God in the resurrection, our loved ones. The situation that I'm in today, the problems that are assailing us, is Christ our hope? Is something else? Let me get out of this situation. I'm done with this. I'm out of here. Or is it Christ? Falling to our knees, falling on my face, saying, oh God, help me. Your word says that you will. Your word says that you can. Seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Meaning, oh, you guys are saved already. Seeing that you did that through the Spirit, not from any of us, unto unfeigned love the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, we're going. And all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word. Back to Mark 12, where we were. I know this is a lot of, would you rather listen to God or listen to me? But the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. You guys err about the scriptures. These scriptures, everyone talks about him. Every one of them. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this word, this power of God, this Passion Week, this Holy Week that's coming up, the Resurrection Sunday. It says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So I wrote myself down a question. It's all perspective. After what we just heard, do you think you had a bad week this week? Share it with him this week. Think it was too trying, too hard? Maybe. Some of it really is. I'm not lessening. But take it to the Lord, because the Word of God says, consider him. Consider him. That means more than just a quick glance. And a lot of people don't want to glance at the cross. It's too ugly. It's too hurtful. It's like you're watching a war movie on TV. Sorry, Nina. Oh. This is more than I know, and that's okay. You know, I feel like that on horror. I don't watch horror movies. Because my lovely brother Ted, I'd hide my eyes when Lon Chaney and the werewolf was coming, and I'd say, tell me when I could look. He goes, okay, look. And I'd go like that, and there'd be Lon Chaney like that. Ah! You know, this is not a movie. Perspective. Consider him. Analogizo. Think about it. Calculate it. What he did for me. Am I going to receive this week, or am I going to reject this week? Will my faith, asking myself that, will my faith triumph over my experiences this week? or will my experience triumph over my faith? The choice is up to me. Father God, help us. Help us to really delve into this week, not allow the world to get into spots that are rightfully yours. So we thank you, Lord, in whatever way it might be that we look at these scriptures, lead us, guide us, open our understanding. Help us to see those things, Father, that you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's stand and worship the Lord.